This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. My wife Linda was asking me what I was going to preach on. And my typical answer is, I don't know. And so she said, well, when is the last time you preached on mothers? I said, I can't remember. Because I try to vary it, not do the same thing. Well, I don't do the same thing, but sometimes the recognition of mothers, but then not really on that. But today it's dealing more with motherhood. And I just pray that we can honor the Lord in what we do here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, and we'll read through verse 8. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I'm so grateful that we have it. I'm grateful that I'm not looking at something that contains your word, but I actually have it in my possession. And I know that you can speak to every heart through it, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would. I pray that, Father, as a result of being here, not that we would learn anything new, because there is nothing new under the sun, but that we would bring to remembrance perhaps things that we once knew, we once held dear and esteemed as valuable. I'm included in that list. The message is to everyone here who has received Christ as personal Savior. And I realize because of the scope of what we're looking at, the application can refer to not only saved people, but lost as well. But Father, I'm here as your tool, your vehicle, to give forth your word and trust that you'll do with it as you see fit, because I know it will never return void. May you have your way here now this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we come together today to, number one, honor the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship. And that worship must be in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, it's not true worship. And number two, to honor the mothers that are here or who may be watching over live stream. Neither one of those two can be reduced to one Sunday a year or one solitary service like we have this morning. We can't do God justice and honor Him one time and expect that, okay, that's all we need. Whether it's on any given service or once a year. This has always been the thing that I have with any day that is set aside, because all of a sudden we seem to change gears and we're all about mothers. But Monday comes and we know we have 365 more days to forget mothers And then we'll just do it again and again. And there's not any depth to that. Hopefully we can go through some of these things. I've got a two-edged sword here this morning, and I don't want to use it correctly. This is a day for greetings. This is a day for expressions of love and for remembering. It's good for us. It's healthy for us to consider how much we really do honor mothers, whether it be our mothers or any mother. Because motherhood is certainly not some walk in a local park. You just go out and it's nice and, you know, the sun isn't bright and the humidity's not deep and you're just casually walking along, no problems. I understand by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle, and this is not relevant, equal relevancy, but a mother has had to handle over 18,000 hours of child-generated work. We all know that in the early parts of life, you put much more into that, but 18,000, and for what it's worth, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, men, and I'm quoting, men are what their mothers make them, unquote. It's an old Spanish proverb. It said, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Well, I have no regard for clergy. I don't even like to be called clergy. I don't even like to park in a spot at the hospital that says clergy parking. I just don't like the connotation. So I think the proverb should be revised. An ounce of mother is worth 100,000 pounds of clergy. Because many of these people are people who have denied the word from cover to cover and are just shysters, scam artists. I met a man in Maryland who was he just happened to be a Presbyterian minister. He wasn't a preacher, wasn't a pastor, he said, I'm a minister. So that's what I'm going to call him. And my parents lived there, and we were thinking of the possibility of going to Maryland to maybe start a local church. Just thinking and praying. And so he said, why don't you come in and join the Presbyterian Church? And I said, how so? He says, look, I get paid $50,000 a year. Now, we're talking 30 years ago, 35 years ago. And he says, I only do one service. I can play golf all week. He says, it is a blast. And I thought to myself, why would I ever want to do that? Why would I ever want to give up who I am? Why would I want to give up what the Word of God says to me to have a life of leisure? It just didn't make any sense. So that has to do with that proverb, and that's the end of that. Okay, the scriptures have some great portraits of motherhood. Moses' mother. You remember her. She cared so much for her son that she broke the law of Egypt to save him and then to care for him and teach him in the faith of their people, of her people. You remember the sacrificial love of the mother who appeared in King Solomon's court and told him she was willing to give up her son to another woman rather than harm come upon him. The mother of James and John was so into their boys, I think, I'm sure that there was a great deal of love involved here, there may have been something else, that she wanted them to sit with Christ on the throne in the kingdom. And then there was Mary, the Lord's mother, who stood afar off, a distance, watching the crucifixion of her son and seeing everything that was happening. Can you and I even fathom what was going on in her mind? We see in the text that we read the gentleness of and love of the nursing mother in verse 7. All right, these are good examples from Scripture. But I also am aware that Mother's Day to some people can be very difficult. And there's a number of reasons for that. We may not have had the best mother in the world. We may have wanted to be a mother, but couldn't for a variety of reasons. Our mother may have died. Both Lynn and mine died a long time ago. Some mothers have seen their children die. Some mothers feel the pain of a wayward child. These days become very difficult. And some of you, I know, are flying solo as you work to nurture and raise your children in the faith. So it's important that we realize what exactly is going on. When men don't stand up to their responsibility, you see godly women, you see godly mothers stepping up. I always used to wonder, our church in Montana, churches that we've been in where I haven't pastored, how come there was always so many more women than there were men? You know why? Because there's so few men that step up and stand up and that will take the position that God wants them to. And so the natural inclination is that the woman will stand up. You read the book of Judges, and you see that happening in, what, chapter 4, chapter 5, when Barak wouldn't take the lead. And so what happened? And Deborah stands up, and she does. Well, I think that's gone through all of history. But I want to talk this morning in defense of motherhood, and I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 to start off. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to be introduced to a couple of people here, a couple of mothers. We begin here in verse 3. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it in thee also. All right, I'm going to take some liberty here. So you understand where I'm taking liberty. You can say, I don't believe a word of that. That's okay. We'll just see if you can agree with the order of where I'm going. The liberty is discussing how these two mothers made a spiritual impact in the life of Timothy, and then hopefully to be able to instill in us as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I've already been introduced to Lois and Eunice. Verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who is Paul talking to? Timothy. So, the first thing that I want to bring up, I believe that Lois and Eunice, grandmother and mother, instilled in Timothy a respect and reverence for the Word of God. Yes, godly living can result in persecution. We know that. Many of us know that. But in verse 14, we are told to continue in what you've learned, remembering from who you've learned it, and to be convinced of its truthfulness. So what was that truth? Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe they read to him from the Old Testament scriptures. I believe they talked to him about these Bible characters, not just whom the people I mentioned, and probably before he ever started crawling. I don't think that's a stretch. Lois and Eunice had God's word in their hearts, and they gave it out and they lived it out before Timothy. He was not raised as a stranger to the word or to the scriptures or to the truth. This is who he was because this is who they were. And they imparted that to him. Mothers need to know it is never too early to teach your children the word of God. And it's never too late to start if you haven't. I think many times we mean well, and then it gets away from us and we think it's too late. No, it isn't. When is it too late? After you've taken your last breath, and if you're saved, you go home to be with the Lord. That's when it's too late. But not until then. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in what? Your grandmother and your mother first. Non-hypocritical faith, genuine faith. I believe they instilled genuine, authentic faith. Now, they didn't save him. Don't get me wrong here. These two mothers obviously were believers. But there came a point in Timothy's life when he was convicted of his sin and his need to be saved and his inability to work his way or do anything other than receive the finished work of Christ and trust him as Savior. I think what they instilled in him was that there is truth. And of course, there's error. I don't know that they taught him error. They taught him truth. And it's fortunate when you have the truth and you're able to teach someone that truth as opposed to when you don't have the truth and you teach them error as though it is truth. You know, you are creating a scene within your house where motivating a child, or you can be motivating a child to that same kind of faith. That's not a guarantee. That's not an absolute. But it's far better than doing nothing, saying nothing, and hoping that, well, God will just take care of it. Now, pay attention to the link here. It went from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. Is there any mention of a father or a grandfather or a preacher? No. No. Does that mean men are not important? Absolutely not. That you're misunderstanding where I'm going, what I'm saying. It's just that limitations don't come from God. You put them up. And you can do this. You can always do this. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you can do this. What are you more interested in? Are you more interested in your child's soul or their clothes? Are you more interested in your child's eternal life or success than this worldly life? Are you more interested in their relationship with Christ or in their popularity in the world, their station in life? Are you more interested in your child's standing before God or their social stature? It's important that you examine your heart and answer those things in the way that you know is true. Not that I need to know them, but we need to know them. All right, go with me to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. I believe that they instilled in Timothy a respect and reverence for the Word of God, for genuine, authentic faith, and number three, a desire to serve, to minister. Verse 1. Then came he, speaking of Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Timothy, at this point, number one, was already a strong believer. He was called by Luke a disciple. A disciple is somebody that's a not only a learner, but a follower, serious about Christ, not just there to be there, not just there to, the word escapes me, but to go through and access other people so that your business can grow and that kind of thing. No, he was there to learn. He was there to follow. And he was, in all likelihood, and I'm not stretching this, a strong believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that he had a good reputation. People in the area spoke well of him. Now, who are the people in the area? Well, they're certainly not unbelievers. These are the believers that are there. He was a man of the word, and he had integrity. How old was he? He wasn't very old, but he had all that. And number three, he was available. He made himself available. Paul wanted to take him on a missionary journey. He was eager to minister, as you read the rest of the book of Acts. It meant hardships that he hadn't faced before. It meant leaving home. If this is not developed at home, it usually does not happen. Though sometimes it happens in spite of the direction that people want to lead the children. But for the most part, it doesn't happen. Every one of our children left home to go to college. Not a big thing. Every time I would take one of them to school and come home, there was a void inside in my heart. Every time. Every one of them graduated and went farther away. It's like we were some kind of poison. Karen went to Baltimore and then she went to Chicago. Michael went to Raleigh and then he went to Jacksonville and then he went to Charlotte. Chris went to Hawaii and then to Raleigh. They left home. Were they sad they were leaving home? Did they say, I don't know if I can do this? No. They were glad they were going, and we were glad they were going. Because if this was going to be God's will for their life, then why should I try to hold them back? With that in mind, let's turn the page. I'm going to read you a sheet. I'll read you from a little sheet. I may reduce it to not the whole thing, but I'm quoting. Speaking about mothers, she rises up at break of day and through her tasks she races. She cooks the meals as best she may and scrubs the children's faces, while school books, lunches, homework too, all need consideration. And yet the census man insists she has no occupation. When breakfast dishes are all done, she bakes a pudding, maybe. She cleans the rooms one by one with one eye watching the baby. The mending pile she then attacks by way of variation, and yet the census man still insists she has no occupation. She irons for a little while, then presses pants for all within. She welcomes with a cheery smile her children, her returning boy and girl. A hearty dinner next she cooks, no time for relaxation, and yet the census man insists she has no occupation. I'm going to say some things now that we ought to be doing toward mothers. And the first thing is you need to love her verbally. Verbally. Man, for some reason, has this strange philosophy. I've run across a few in my lifetime. I don't have to say I love you. They already know it. I don't have to say I love you. You already know it. Or, hey, I show you, don't I? Why do I have to say it? Let me give you a little handful of purpose. If you haven't had it before. A woman, a mother, needs to hear it. And so do all of us. We all need to hear it. If it's true, we need to hear it. Mothers need to hear that. Talk to your mother verbally. Life will be full of regrets if you don't. Secondly, love your mother physically. Hugs, kisses, without asking for them. Just holding on. No words spoken, just holding on. She deserves your touch. And she should never have to give that up. Ever. I know what some people think. Well, that's not the cool thing to do. You need to get over that. It is the cool thing to do. The next one, love your mother patiently. They have an incredible task and no pay. None. Don't ever make the blunder of asking a woman, do you work or do you stay at home? No position in any business capacity compares to the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual commitment that you have in motherhood. There's nothing like that. Some people like to exalt the position of the pastorate. It does not compare. There's no comparison. And now that very position, motherhood, is under assault by, I believe, demonic forces, legislation, and injustice. Like it means nothing. Like it's derogatory. It's holding back the rest of the development of the world that's plunging into hell. You better not buy into that. Ever. Love her attentively. You know, it's probably taken a long time. You may not know it, but mothers are wired differently. You pour out your heart to her. No matter what, she has a sympathetic ear. And she pretty much is always on your side unless you are blatantly rebellious. That's who they are. I don't know how many times we have had discussions and it's been concerning our children. And whatever I say, she takes the opposite side. And I said, what is this? Do you know why that is? Because she's a mother. I'm not a mother. I don't, those strands have not gotten into me. I'm more at ease with it. But in the beginning, how can this be? It's who they are. Love her attentively. Pay attention to her. I mean, don't fake it, but be concerned about her. Love her gratefully. Love her gratefully in the midst of an ungrateful world and getting worse every week, every month, every year. Start thinking about the things that you just take for granted. There's so many of them. And there's no gratefulness. And it continues to grow and grow, and it seeps into your home, and it seeps into the relationship with parents and children. Don't let it do it. Love her gratefully. A simple thank you, you know, goes a long way from a genuinely thankful heart. It really does. If you have children and you have parents, you're living the best years of your lives. We have children, but we don't have parents. You're not always going to have your parents. And we ought to be the kind of parents we ought to be. After my dad's funeral, I went up to my sister. She was getting ready to go her way, wherever they were going. We were getting to leave Arlington National Cemetery. And I went up to her and said, you realize now, don't you, that we're orphans? And she just looked at me. I never thought of that. I said, we have each other, and that's it. There's nobody else. Now, if you're saved, you're never an orphan. The Lord's never going to leave you. You understand that. But love her gratefully, because you're not always going to have her. It's hard to think. It's hard to process that. You know, I can reduce myself 20 years and think, I don't know that I even thought about that. The next one is love her generously. Now, whether she did or whether she does for you or not, love her generously, because the chances are probably good that she does. She didn't spend time on herself unless your needs were met. That's what mothers do. She seemed to easily do without. You never saw that. She didn't want you to see that. She's given up opportunities so that you can have more opportunities. It's important that even though you may not see those things, they're true. Again, understand, not in the absolute sense, because we have no perfect mothers. Love her honorably. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In the New Testament, it talks about the only commandment with promise for longer life. Honor your mother is binding as long as she is alive. Understand something here. If the husband is the head of the home, the wife is the heart of the home. If all you have is a head, and you have no heart, what kind of a home is that? The heart, it's what makes it go. It's what makes it function. You want me or people like me to stand up and not defend motherhood? That's like saying we're looking for the destruction of the family unit. A mother was talking with an old college friend. And she said, I remembered when I was thinking of getting married and then hopefully having some children, I had three theories about child raising. And she says, and now here I am, I'm married and I have three children and I have no theories. Because she found out it's not theoretical. It's real life. A young girl was watching her mother do the dishes one evening in the kitchen. And noticed, be ready for this, okay. Noticed that there were some white strands of hair escaping out of her brunette head of hair. And so she said, why are those hairs white, Mom? Now understand something. This is either going to be a truthful moment or a gotcha moment. Why are those hairs white, Mom? And so the mother turned and said, well, every time you do something wrong and you make me unhappy and you make me cry, one of my hairs turns white. And so being a young girl, she thought about that, seemed satisfied, and walked away, got into something else a few minutes later, and then all of a sudden just stopped. Puzzled look on her face. Went back to the kitchen. Mother was still there. Mom, I have another question. Okay, go ahead. So how come all of Grandma's hairs are white? Gotcha. You see? A mother is considered old-fashioned and out of touch to teenagers. And sometimes more than that. Come on, you know no other mother does that. And sometimes it's not just teenagers, it gets goes up a little bit as well. She's just a mom to her third and fourth graders, or a simple mama to her 4 and 5 year olds. Yet there's hardly a thrill in all of life that can compete with pointing to that wonderful woman and be able to say, that's my mother. That's my mom. Mothers, this is a happy Mother's Day. Many, many in our midst are going and have gone and probably will go above and beyond anything we could ever imagine. If I start, then somebody's going to feel bad about being left out. But I understand where I'm coming from, and I hope you do as well. Whether you realize it or not, our Lord, throughout the Word, throughout His Word, loves us verbally, physically, patiently, attentively. Do you think that when we're invited to go boldly to the throne of grace, He's off doing something and he doesn't listen to what we say? No, He listens attentively, gratefully, generously, honorably. Read the Word and see for yourself. Everything I just brought up concerning mothers is the Lord's reaction toward us. We don't deserve that. He also instills respect and reverence for His Word. I can try to do that. I can't do it. You can try to do it. You can't do it. But He can and does. I can't explain to you how I went so many years of being lost. And in the second year of being saved, then going off to Bible college and taking the things that I saw there and read there and was taught there and having them get down into my heart and without any deviation for 40 some years. I can't explain that. I just know that it happened. And I believe that the Lord is the one that did that. I didn't have any respect for God. I didn't have any respect for His Word. I didn't have any respect for Christian people. And then all of that took place and erased itself. How? Because of the Lord. He instills a genuine and authentic faith. I had been raised in the faith plus works crowd, in the grace plus works crowd. I believe that God loved good boys, hated bad boys. I was in the bad boy category. The works that I had done on the bad level were way down on the scale and the good was way up. So I figured bound for eternity without the Lord forever. I had no idea about the truths of Scripture. Yet somebody took the time to show me that this is what the Word of God says. And what did it produce? It produced a genuine, saving, authentic faith. And I believe that He instills in us still today the desire to serve and to minister to other people. I can't make that happen. You can go to every fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church that believes in the doctrinal truths the same way we do, and you can listen to each one of them for the rest of your life, and none of them, or myself, can produce that in you. The Holy Spirit can produce it in you. If your heart has a desire to learn and to be told the truth from error, and you have a desire to do what is right, even if it means facing up to the wrong direction you went until you got to this place. It doesn't come easy. Go back to 1 Thessalonians and we're done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is comparing himself and the group that was with him to loving mothers. Look here in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. It's talking about a nursing mother. You don't see anything like that anywhere. This is what he's talking. This is how I identify with the people here in Thessalonica, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you. Now, I'm here to do my job, and that's the end of it. That's the long of it, and that's the short of it. I'm here to do a job, and when I get through the job, I go my way, you go your way. No, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. There are churches you can go to, the sum total of what you will hear inside the church is a gospel message, period. Paul wasn't like that. It didn't mean he didn't preach the gospel. It means that it wasn't just the gospel always, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. You and I have to take each other into the hearts of other people. I have to take you into my heart to identify with that, which is what a mother does with her children. And the reason? Because their souls are dear to them. In defense of motherhood, what an honorable, honorable task it is to be a mother. You may not have your children, and you may have your children. You may not have your husband, or you may have your husband. But the job that you've done, the job that you're doing as a mother, is still one of the most important, if not the most important, on the face of the earth. Instill in your children truth. Not for the sake just of truth, but because their souls are dear to you. If you're here this morning without Christ, know for a fact that everything that I read concerning mothers and then about the Lord and his desire and his characterization toward us, he wants you to be saved. He does not want you to be lost. And if you'll come in faith and trust him, he'll save you. Know for a surety that we have much to learn and much to correct, much to rejoice in, and much to reflect on concerning mothers. If the Lord's speaking to your heart this morning, there may be somebody here that's been saved, never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. What does the Lord want you to do after you're saved? Identify with him in believer's baptism. Same thing concerning local church. If it's your intent to be a part of this local church, then you make that intent known this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that I haven't butchered it. I haven't changed it. I haven't misused it. But that I've honored it. Which is why we were here today, to honor you, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship in spirit and in truth, and to honor mothers. Sometimes our mothers, but always all mothers. The job is not over. The job has not ended. We're still drawing breath. Our responsibility still stands. You who are mothers. And our responsibility as children still stands. And we need to be respectful and reverent in these things that I've spoken this morning. The Lord speaking to our heart. I pray that we might take the time to respond. Maybe speaking in another way altogether. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But whatever it is, we just pray that we will take care of it now. Thank you, Father, for loving us, caring for us, being patient with us. We're a hard group of people to be patient with. Speak to every heart. May you have your way in the invitation, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.